Hello. Today's Wednesday. Is it February 26th? February
Yeah, you
26th.
don't know the
27th.
month?
It's almost in March. I'm so excited for spring.
27th.
I just want it to be spring.
It's the 27th.
I'm holding out. 27th.
We're having kind of a springy day today,
Yeah, it
but a
is.
vicious wind.
Yeah.
My house is, it's like I live in a wind tunnel. It's incredible.
Is it really
I
loud?
need to get some sort of cool, like a wind sock or.
You need wind chimes.
No, I don't want chimes,
I
but
have
just
wind chimes
something
in
that
my house.
reacts cool with the wind because I've got a surplus of wind.
Window sockets layer.
And not a single cat to keep him warm.
What good would the wind do the
There's
cats?
a great cat at PetSmart right now. His name is Falcon. And he's
Is
a
it a
little white and
kitten?
orange cat. Yeah, he's young, probably like less than 6 months.
Is there I need another cat to go with it
He
then.
had brothers, but they'd all been adopted. He was by himself.
Are PetSmart cats shelter take-ins or?
They're from the rescue. They're partnered with the rescue here in town.
Do they list them on the internet?
I think so, yeah.
Well, none of that
We
has
want
anything to
Falcon.
do with technology news. But as we love to do, let's start this time with a little bit of a Jeep pie.
Slice of pie.
The FCC says that gutting the ISP oversight was great for broadband, and then Motherboard proceeds to take that claim apart. Because,
Well, let's bullet point why that's not true. It only goes up to a certain part of 2018, which was all before the repeal of net neutrality. So literally all the data doesn't say what he says it said. Also, the claims about how it's improved the build out, it improved more year over year the previous year. So it actually went down a little
But it's only a little bit. Next year, we'll find out that it was the
bit.
infrastructure apocalypse.
But one thing is for sure, it was a filthy lie what he said.
Like, he's just not even trying. He's just not even
Well,
remotely
I mean,
honest.
think people even verify what he says, though? Like, I
Well,
mean, no,
yeah, they
obviously
certainly
they
did.
did, but I mean, like, anyone he answers to, probably
But
not.
if you have to, you know, the only way to maintain your quality of life that you have currently, and you know the people that put you in power, what they expect, you have to lie. You just go big, right? Why not?
Well, they're not going to verify.
Oh, even if they are going to verify it, I mean, what else are you going to do? You just got to go for it. What's the, there's like one of the Nazi quotes about like people will accept a lie if it's like large enough and
And
ridiculous
ridiculous
enough.
enough, it's like, oh,
Yeah.
there's no way they'd lie about that.
Not that I want to compare him to literal Nazis.
Getting there.
Speaking of evil entities, how about Huawei?
The Britain managing Huawei risks has no evidence of spying, according to this official.
The Britain.
The Britain. Britain managing Huawei risks. I don't really understand this Reuters headline, but.
That's what they're doing. They're managing Huawei risks.
Well, Britain has said, hey, let us know what the evidence is, and we'll reconsider. But we've done our own examination, and we're not finding evidence of backdoors or anything, except for perhaps some poor decisions, like some poor security decisions, which Huawei has said, okay, yeah. Those were some probably pretty poor security architecture choices. It wasn't deliberate. It wasn't us trying to put a back door in. We're going to try to fix those over the next year or two.
Well, let's compare that to Cisco.
Yeah.
They made some bad
They
choices.
made some bad choices. Let's compare that to RSA, where they made the dual elliptic curve the default algorithm. That was a pretty bad choice. That was a catastrophically bad choice.
And I think in Huawei's case, just like Cisco, some of it was companies they gobbled up, and the problems were pre-existing.
My favorite part of that whole debacle was the OpenSSL people being like, ah, you know, some mathematicians think we should probably pick our random numbers a different way. Can we more securely pick our random numbers? And the National Institute of Standards was like, no,
Those nerds.
you gotta follow the FIPS standard for that. And it's like, okay. It's like, that's so dumb. It's like talking about adhering to the standard despite like
The people who help make the standard
yeah, I mean
saying that's a bad idea.
come on. Come on, people, come on. Nobody's that dumb.
And perhaps it was the Brits and their refusal to go along with the demands of the American leaders that led none other than Donald Trump to make his classic quote.
5G networks. Trump says the US shouldn't block technology. Hell, he even wants 6G, which is what
Bless
everybody
his
like
heart.
which is what he latched onto. Now, last episode we talked a little bit about the technology side of it. And our thing was that 4G is really not rolled out the way that it should be. It's the density, not the technology. I mean, it's a little bit of both, but if we have to pick one, I would rather have more 4G cells than 5G cells in a few select locations. That would be better for people.
As opposed to dogs.
Who also enjoy the internet but don't need it as much as people do.
We talked a lot about license plate recognition and how it is pretty much everywhere. If you shop or drive on the interstate or are anywhere where a cop is, you're having your license plate scanned. And false positives can happen. And they did.
Privacy advocate held at gunpoint after license plate reader database mistake lawsuit alleges. So this guy had a rental car that was mistakenly reported stolen, and police dragged him and his passenger out of his car. It's pretty much a nightmare scenario. It's a wonder nobody got shot.
Because you definitely draw your gun every time you approach a stolen car, right? That's
Well,
how that should
obviously.
work. They also pointed out there was one woman who had reported her own car stolen, only to recover it and then be dragged out of her car at gunpoint. And there was someone who had stolen the car, swapped the license plate with just some random car, and got that person. Because, like, how often do you look at your license plate before you get in your car?
Yeah, not very often.
Not
Yeah.
yeah.
So maybe change the way that works, but of course we never will because for whatever reason, cops think their job shouldn't be dangerous.
Is that irony or coincidence?
I don't know that it's either.
Yeah, it's
No, I mean the whole privacy advocate arguing against license plate readers is himself caught up in a faulty license
Oh, that's like that's
plate
fate.
database. Well, that's
That's
just
he's just probably secretly thrilled about that.
Oh yeah. Oh, he's gonna sue them. Now they pointed out the woman who
Half a million.
550,000
Ooh.
is what she got for that. Now this guy's gonna get way more, I think. We've talked about DNA and people submitting to 23andMe and all that nonsense, and that leading to arrests. It's probably a bad idea to do that. Also, if you get arrested, they swab you when they take you in most places now. Also, when you die, which is seems a little bit of a violation, don't you think?
Well, we got to save it because you're not going to be able to do that later.
Can you say like I donate my body to science but not to swabbing? Is that
Well, I don't mean
a rule you can do?
I think they would probably sequence you just for part of the science at that point. But anyway, at least they're not like dragging us out of our cars at gunpoint and pulling the blood out of us, right?
Disturbing bill would force Arizonans to pay $250 to have their DNA added to a database. Now, it was my understanding this is just people that want to work in like public service jobs.
It's
Like,
anything that requires a fingerprint.
so, yeah.
So, if you work with food,
A bank.
children,
Law
there's
enforcement.
one other. Yeah, for sure, law enforcement.
The grocery store I worked at required a fingerprint.
So,
Yeah,
$250.
food.
That seems bad for low wage, minimum wage jobs, because that is a lot of money for minimum wage.
Yeah.
Well, forget the money part of it. It's a rights violation. That's some Fourth Amendment stuff right there. That's my DNA, and you cannot have it.
You don't have any control over it once it leaves, because then it's like, oh, it's, you know.
Watch where you spit.
That's the insidious loophole about the 23andMe thing is that's perfectly legal because you shared your data with a company, and then after that, but if it were the government doing that's a totally different thing.
Although, if they can take your DNA when they arrest you, and they really want your DNA, they're just going to find a reason to arrest you.
Yeah.
So, we're kind of doomed when it comes to that kind of thing. This story is going to be a little bit out of order because we haven't done social media yet, and the meat of the story is in social media.
Yeah.
So, maybe we'll refrain from getting too much into it. But let's just say that Facebook has been doing some bad things. No,
Surprise.
not those bad things. New bad things. And Governor Cuomo of New York has had enough.
New York governor orders probe into Facebook
Probe.
access to data from other apps. So, turns out that apps that use Facebook libraries, there's a lot of data in there probably. And so he's trying to figure out exactly what is going on there.
And if you want to serve ads through your app, which is one of the big monetization techniques, you might want to serve Facebook
Or
ads.
logins, like that whole login
OAuth,
with Facebook.
yep.
Turns
And
out.
yeah, Facebook will happily gobble up all the data.
Facebook is under a lot of scrutiny right now, and I bet that makes the Zuck real. You know, this is probably why he was so like
Zuck.
compliant with everything is because he's like, oh, if they start digging real deep here, so I'm just going to roll over and be like, we're going to change.
When they had the Cambridge thing, wasn't one of his quotes like, there might be some more stuff that you're going to find.
Yeah.
Don't freak out. Yeah, I don't think we've even begun to scratch the surface of that. It's the Berg is the correct ending of his name, because I think we've only seen the tip of the iceberg when it comes to Facebook and the horrible things that they do.
Zucker iceberg.
Verizon, you read this headline, you think, oh, Verizon's evil. But actually, it turns out Verizon is the least evil.
Verizon asks the FCC to let it lock new smartphones for 60 days. This is to help prevent identity theft and fraud. So what people are doing is committing identity theft and fraud and buying phones from Verizon, and they're unlocked, and so then they can just sell them on the open market, and it's fine. Well, this would remove the incentive for criminals to steal your identity, so they say, and then use it to buy phones in your name. And I think it was this article. I don't know if it was this article or another version of this article that I read elsewhere, but there was a case of somebody who had their identity stolen in another state that they'd never even been to, and they got an iPhone XR and some, like a whole other line on their bill and just crazy stuff like that. And the guy was like, what's going on? They're like, well, they had your driver's license. We're not going to do anything.
But it turns out every other carrier already makes you wait 60 days. So Verizon's like, if you think this is a bad idea, then Verizon was the only place that couldn't do it up until this point. But for whatever reason, they think they need the FCC's permission, but the other ones don't. I don't understand that part.
Merger condition, maybe? I don't know. From years gone by.
But yeah, that's a terrifying thing. The whole, stealing your phone identity, if you think about it, that really is one of the worst things. Because your two-factor stuff, if they, they can get into your emails, and it's that's everything. It's crazy that we live in that world where your phone literally is your identity. Sad. Sad. GDPR. We've learned that GDPR is certainly the Achilles heel of all of these giant data gobbling companies. They can't deal with it. And it turns out they may have known all along that they wouldn't be able to deal with it.
Unearthed emails could be the smoking gun in an epic GDPR battle. Google ad tech giants know they break Euro privacy law. So supposedly there's an email about all this that's floating around that's like, look, there's no way for us to comply with GDPR for ad tracking to still be effective, and we got to sell ads or we're out of business.
It was a Freedom of Information email.
Ryan, so, how did you describe this article? Wasn't it just torturously long?
Torturously long.
Yeah.
They went to a lot of detail and they didn't get to the point till the very end. I don't appreciate that, the Register. But it's not as bad as the one article, I think, if we didn't already cut it, we will, from BuzzFeed News. Oh my God. I now understand why all of the BuzzFeed people were fired. And they should have fired whoever that was. Article 13. You can't escape it. And this week, unfortunately, all we have to report is it has crawled further. One more inch, leaving a slimy trail behind it.
The European governments approved controversial new copyright law. Copyright overhaul could effectively mandate automated content filtering. Now, this just means it's going to go for a vote. It's not law or anything like that yet.
But this was it could have been stopped.
Yeah.
They could have stood their ground and said, this is crazy, and they didn't.
Didn't we report last week that this is probably going to be fast-tracked?
Well, no, we were talking about this very vote last week. And it's like, this is probably going to get through it, and it did. Can confirm. We also talked last week about Switzerland and their e-voting platform. Now, they were going to do a bug bounty, and there are some big dollars on the line if you could find ways to break the e-voting platform. In the meantime, the source code was leaked.
It's already broken.
Experts have found serious problems with Switzerland's online voting system before the public penetration test even begins. So, yeah, you can look at the source code. It turns out the source code might be a spaghetti mess nightmare.
They mentioned that there are hundreds of different files, and the path of voting sort of meanders through them so that it's almost impossible to track what's going on. They do say it did use some state-of-the-art encryption, but it used it in such a way that because there were hundreds of files, there were hundreds of points of failure if you failed to use them correctly. So the experts are just saying, we can't even look at this. Maybe if you hire somebody who does this kind of thing, but I don't know who that is. Who looks at this kind of horrible code.
Well, there are some insiders that say that, you know, one of the reasons OpenSSL was so spaghettified is so that you couldn't catch the deliberately introduced security errors.
Yeah, I thought about that with this. I mean, there is the quote-unquote conspiracy theory that the voting machines are broken because they want them to be broken. Because if you have to, if things get really crazy, you need to flip those votes because you can't let the wrong people into power, right? And that seems like something that could be used here. And how would you ever get to the bottom of it? Because it's such a mess.
Can't audit the code.
By the time you figure out what went on, those people will be on to the next government.
Here's another hot take. The person who coded that was worried about their job security, so they purposely made it really bad, so that way they can't be fired.
I've never seen that before.
Never seen that happen.
I think it was the postal system that was responsible for it. The Swiss postal system. And there was a third-party company that helped them, but, like, I don't think imagine if USPS did software. I guess they do the
tracking. I mean, they probably do, but, yeah.
Well, they do their website. That is a fairly big tracking system, but I don't know if we should put them in charge of the vote.
Yeah, that seems strange, but...
No. We talk a lot about right to repair, and here in the States, right to repair is, you know, it's give and take. It loses as much as it wins. I think it's getting more popular. More people are finding out about it. But this week, it's not us. This week, it's those moose-loving Canadians.
Oh, the worst.
Right to repair legislation is officially being considered in Canada. Canada's looking at this and they're saying, wow, we really should be able to repair name-brand devices. This is the thing that we need.
One of their politicians dropped his phone, cracked the screen, went to figure out, I think it was a Samsung, he went to figure out how much it would cost to fix. He was told, of course, hey, it's cheaper just to get a new one. And he was like, wait a minute. Something should be done about this.
It was the first
this.
Time he'd ever really dropped his phone, because normally his hands are just covered in syrup.
Well, it's those mittens. You know, they're always wearing the giant mittens.
Do you know how hard it is to drop a phone when everything is covered in syrup?
It's just really difficult. Hard. You can't really drop anything.
But here's hoping that Canada does. Now, they do point out, what's Apple going to do? Because the rules that they're proposing is like, you must offer all parts for replacement, and you must offer them at competitive prices. You must offer toolkits, the same that your internal people use, and you must offer all the training material that your same internal people use. If Apple has to do that in Canada, are they going to sell Canadians iPhones?
Do you think they'll just leave? They're like, oh, screw this.
It's going to be the Eastern District of Texas. They're just going to pull out and be like, good luck.
It's going to be, they're going to have to build a wall.
They only sell on that. What is it they have? Like, it's not Craigslist, it's like Kijiji or whatever. They have
in
like
Canada?
Yeah, they have like a different site for
that
kind of thing.
I don't know what
that
thing is. Well, China, you can't have a week without talking about Huawei, and you can't have a week without talking about China. And this one, I think, was pretty much like we all knew it. This is just saying the words.
Bloomberg says that China has abandoned a cybersecurity truce with the U.S., the report says. Yes, can confirm. Last week was insane. The amount of like hacking attempts and like just general hacking activity that just went, it was insane last week. In fact, the FBI is probably going to be investigating some stuff. It's going to be crazy.
The world loves pornography. But you know who doesn't love pornography? This
Kansas.
Guy right here.
CJOnline.com.
The House bill. Now, we reported on this before, but this House bill is going to require a pornography filter on all phones, computers, anything that can get on the internet purchased in Kansas. And you're going to have to pay $20 to remove that software.
Well, we wondered how could they... It was Randy Garber. We wondered how could Randy Garber possibly pull this off? What would be the mechanism to stop pornography if you didn't pay your pornography license fee? And so we now see how he expects it to work, that any device sold that could be used to consume porn must have software installed on it, presumably a blacklist software. How many gigs do you think it would take to blacklist all the porn on the internet?
Apple doesn't sell phones that have that much.
And you would pay the $20 to undo that software. You would not be able to do that if you're under the age of 18 or if anybody under the age of 18 would have access to that computer. You would also have a $3 door fee on any kind of pornographic store or anything like that. And there was another fee too. I can't remember. Oh, strip clubs. strip clubs would have a fee. And all that money would go toward anti-sex trafficking. So,
is there that much sex trafficking in Kansas? Because it's going to be a lot of money.
You know, there
is. It's just like a highway system, so yeah.
I mean, Kansas is, you know, that's like the crossroads of America, right? So
that's actually Indiana's state slogan, thanks.
There probably is quite a bit of sex trafficking. But you certainly could argue, I think, that sex trafficking, just like drug trafficking, is a product of prohibition. If you just let it happen, then the trafficking would go away.
Except that's not been proven to happen.
Because we've never tried it.
It has been tried in like Amsterdam and other parts of Europe, and it made it worse. It made the demand go up.
Yeah, I think you probably have some selective sources there. I'm not going to say you're wrong, but we certainly don't have the data, I'm sure, to say one or the other. Either way, the $20 porn fee ain't going to work, no matter what
you
do.
Won't. No.
How's he going to decide? Has he seen that Tumblr blog where it's just nipples? Because there's male nipples in there. Those are okay.
Well, I'm sure there's going to be a giant bureaucratic agency that decides.
Those people are all going to be like paid really well, and they have retirement benefits. And
they haven't been able to come up with an AI that can deal with that one, which is kind of hilarious.
And I'm sure that the job that is sitting around looking at porn all day won't attract the worst kinds of people.
Yeah, never. Did it just crap out again?
That was
the previous failure.
Our browser's a little
And
wonky.
Speaking of failures, let's talk about blockchain failure.
What the hell is unhackable? Blockchains are now getting hacked. More and more security holes are appearing in cryptocurrency and smart contract platforms, and some are fundamental to the way that they're built. What they're really talking about here is when you control enough participants in the network, you can get them all to agree on a thing, and that's all it is. And that's always been a thing with blockchain, but it could be because interest is waning in certain blockchains, so it's easy for somebody that has a lot of computers to take over the network.
They estimated to have the computing horsepower to get a hold of the 51% of Bitcoin will cost you about $260,000 per hour. But some of the little crappy altcoins, not nearly that much. So they get a hold of 51%, then they can just fake transactions because they're the authority and double spend and bad things happen. But is it a flaw?
Or is it by design?
Is it inevitable? I don't know. I don't think anybody ever thought that there would be so many coins. That might be the problem.
There's only four computers participating in the Dogecoin network, and it's like, okay, well, I've got four computers in my basement. It's on.
Easy.
We haven't done social media yet.
We haven't.
So once again, the YouTube story, oddly out of order. Some would say catastrophically out of order.
Yeah.
But this is actually just CNBC talking about the financial repercussions of Adpocalypse 2.
YouTube is heading for its Cambridge Analytica moment. This week, several major advertisers suspended their YouTube campaigns after a report that pedophiles have latched onto videos of young children. We kind of covered this a little bit, the business aspects of this, in the last episode. But there's a lot going on with this story.
At the heart of it, YouTube cannot operate without advertisers. It's simply...
It's too expensive.
It's ridiculously expensive to host all that video. And what are you going to do? Somebody's got to pay for it. And when the likes of Disney and Nestle abandon ship, you know something's bad. I mean, you know, I hate to say anything bad about Nestle, but they do own slaves.
They do, but he loves their water.
Delicious.
To a weird degree.
Best water on the market.
Now, one thing that's... I don't want to say that Disney and some of these other companies are acting in bad faith, but they're used to the old model, and this is the new model, and I want to say that a little bit of I get the impression, let's say, that a lot of the freak out from Disney is just as much to have an excuse to freak out, to have more control over that platform.
I think it's they're learning that this is the new way to manage PR. Because the outrage is going to happen. The outrage machine is it's churning, and something has to be fed to it. So if you're Disney, you make sure that you're not the one fed to it by kicking the legs out from under YouTube. So it's like, hey, at the first sign of trouble, you don't have to outrun a bear. You just have to outrun YouTube, who's also trying to outrun the bear.
I was thinking about like this whole issue where like, you know, people are posting videos of kids, and sometimes they're just doing very like normal things, like, you know, doing their gymnastic stuff or playing soccer and stuff, and then you get like these weird comments. It's like, I don't even know how you would solve that problem other than maybe just don't post any videos of kids at all.
Oh, well, their answer so far has been turn off the comments.
Yeah, but it's still like...
But yeah, I mean, I think a great way to do that... Well, I mean, you wouldn't get rid of it, but why not move all child content off of YouTube and do like kids.youtube.com?
They already do that.
Do they?
Yeah, there's like a kids-only version that you can turn on for your kids
well,
to watch.
Well, there you go.
Except put all then that, the adults watch it.
Put all that... Yeah, but I'm saying like you're going to have a much easier time only managing those comments rather than all of YouTube.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know what the solution is there. It seems like that's...
You're never going to get rid of that small, creepy part of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Linux users... I think Linux users...
Reasonable bunch.
Probably kind of like what we were just talking about with Disney. And those people, they love to get outraged. They love to carry a cross. And I think that's probably what happened here. This was really not maliciousness.
Linux users are unable to manage their Apple ID on Apple.com. 502 bad gateway from Apple. This is obviously an Nginx error. Thanks, Apple. But yeah, this was probably just Apple incompetence. I don't think Apple was being malicious. I think Apple's just...
Well, they're just flexing on Linux users.
They're checking the agent, and they only accepted normal user agents that they had seen before, and they hadn't seen some weird Linux flavor.
Sorry, Linux users. It's like, I like using Mac because it's like Unix. It's not anymore. Not really.
Oh, it's going to be straight up iOS copy when they get to that 2021 consolidation, I guess is what you want to call it.
iOS on the desktop, we've regressed.
We talk about Chrome and other browser extensions almost every week, and it's always the same story, and this week is no exception.
Third of all Chrome extensions request access to user data on any site. 85% of all Chrome extensions don't even have a privacy policy. We're not saying anything bad is happening, but there could be some really bad stuff happening.
And just wait till we get to the social media
the
section.
Statistics section down
here's
here
all the stuff. They don't have privacy policies. They're looking at all your stuff, cookies and blah, blah, blah. It's nothing new. It's just you got to be real careful about your extensions, especially the beauty filter ones. They love to get you with the beauty filter extensions. Just let the world see how ugly you are. It's so much safer.
No, you got to slather on that makeup for an hour every day.
Well,
on
why
your Instagram
just use the
feed.
Filter?
You got to use that on top of all the makeup you slather on.
Scorched earth.
Yeah. leave nothing of your original face behind.
If you spend a lot of time in planes, you might want to take a closer look at that media screen that they use to distract you.
People are worried about Singapore Airlines entertainment system cameras. Turns out American Airlines has them too. So some guy noticed the camera and he's like, "What? Wait a minute. What is this? Why is this here?" And they're like, we don't use it.
It's a camera. They did confirm, oh, that's a camera. Yep, we've got those. Had those for a while. We're not going to use them. Don't worry. Let's just...
Is that so you can video conference with other people on the plane?
They claim that it's just part of the screen. Like they bought OEM screens and installed them and they came with cameras. Why not? So this does harken back to the Google Nest where they had a microphone that they didn't want to tell you about.
Oh, whoops. That was totally accidental. We didn't mean to do that. Sorry.
Speaking of Google, actually, I think that story is might be
yeah, you
in
did
security.
Not.
But Google is also, they have some very bad news when you're talking about Intel.
About every week for the last year and a half, 2 years, Google, you know, we've been talking about Spectre or Meltdown or some other...
Almost the whole life of the channel.
Yeah, I mean, Google researchers say that software alone cannot mitigate Spectre chip flaws. So Spectre is speculative execution. Speculative execution affects pretty much all modern processors, or at least speculative execution is used for performance reasons. We're going to have to fundamentally change microarchitecture to make speculative execution not leak data about stuff that's happening across processes. So these Google engineers have basically said, look, this is a completely unsolvable problem. If there's a determined person here that's going to exploit speculative execution, they will be able to execute an attack and get that done.
Dark news, but not shocking. Although we still have yet to see that, you know, killer use of Spectre or Meltdown in the wild.
But when we do, wow, it's going to be just insane. It's going to be like, I clicked on this GIF, and now all of the computers on my entire network have been encrypted. And they want 10 Bitcoin.
Once again, your personal experiences are shading
your, what a rough week.
News reporting. Speaking of good security, we often talk about, you know, the password leaks and the fact that if you've used a password somewhere online in the past 10 years, it's probably on that big searchable database and you probably shouldn't use it again. Best case, in most cases, most security people say use a password manager. But wait.
Severe vulnerabilities uncovered in popular password managers. Password stored in RAM could lead to theft, but the report has to be considered in a risk-based context. So they looked at several different password managers and found that most of them stored a lot of information in an unencrypted form, including the master password for the list, just stored in RAM. So that's not good from a security standpoint, and there are other more secure ways to do that.
But they did... So I think LastPass and KeePass were some of the better ones. They stored things in memory, but when you locked it, it flushed the memory. But then there were ways to even defeat that. So these password managers appear to be trying really, really hard. It's just that these researchers did everything they could. Which, I mean, that makes sense because that's what the bad guys are going to do. But is there anything that's ever going to be good enough to fix that completely? I don't know.
Your memory. To just remember your passwords.
No, that's, they say don't do that because that you're gonna, it's going to be too weak.
It's not as terrible. It's potentially not as terrible as it sounds, but there are modern features that have been added to really new microprocessors of the last couple of years that will help with things like that, but the software's got to catch up.
And if someone's speculatively executing your memory from somewhere else, they might get your KeePass password. It's the worst possible scenario. Now, this story seems kind of weird, but if you think about it, just think for a moment about your experience with older people or people in powerful positions in companies and how they tend to use the web. It makes a lot of sense.
Microsoft Edge lets Facebook run flash code behind users' back. So Google security researchers finds a secret whitelist that lets Facebook run flash content despite being in Edge's normal security policies. Now, this is something like Microsoft said when they launched Edge that certain websites that use flash will be whitelisted, but otherwise there is no plugin. And that was when Edge first launched. So here we are, you know, several years after Edge launched, that thing's still lurking in the background. This security researcher did get them to de-whitelist a whole bunch of domains, but two Facebook domains remain whitelisted.
And I totally understand why, because if you're the kind of person who uses Edge, you don't know much about what's going on. You're just blind.
Just don't use Edge. Please yeah. don't.
Well, but see, that this is like, you know, grandpa or the CEO, and they don't know any better, and they're just using Edge, and that's what they've always used.
No, those people are using IE9.
And they want to go to Facebook?
Or IE11.
But if Facebook doesn't work, they become furious.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, this is because Edge is stupid. And then they'll go to another browser.
I must feed my addiction.
So that makes total sense. It's sad and disgusting.
I hate IE11.
But it
hate
makes total
Edge.
Sense.
I hate
this,
them both.
This was the story that should have been after the other one.
We already talked about it. Google says that the built-in microphone it never told Nest users about was never supposed to be a secret. Oh my gosh, we're so sorry.
Using an ad blocker.
I think what they meant to say was you were never supposed to find out about it.
Yeah.
Well, you would kind of find out about it if they actually updated the software and it's like, hey, you can talk to your Nest Secure whatever now.
I think they're going to, actually. So, yeah. But if they never decided to do that.
It's like that time where somebody convinced somebody, it's like, download now for your software update to make your iPhone waterproof. And
people did it, and then, bless them.
Download now for your free microphone.
That was a 4chan prank, and reality is close enough to that that you can't tell the difference. Think about that.
It would not be the first time that 4chan foreshadowed reality.
Like the verification can. I'm waiting for that day.
The world we live in. Well, you can get that Assassin's Creed game, you got extra items if you bought pizza rolls.
Yeah.
That's pretty close.
Well, Overwatch, you can get Overwatch loot boxes if you buy Cheez-Its and like, some other snacks. That's right. Yeah.
Well, we talked about Huawei and, you know, Trump's anger at Huawei, which seems to be listing a little bit now that the EU's not on board. But they made these charges, and everybody, including Huawei, was like, what are you accusing me of? Tell me what it is. And finally, they have.
Last month, well, Huawei's efforts to seal Apple's trade secrets include employee bonus programs and other dubious tactics. So there was apparently some kind of employee program where it's like, hey, steal some secrets or files or something from a competitor, post them on this website, and we'll consider you for a bonus.
Spec work.
How much do you think you get for a juicy Apple secret?
Probably a lot.
Oh, it depends on what it is, though. I mean, like, if it wasn't
Oh, yeah, they admitted that, you know, the more valuable it was, the more your bonus would be.
Well, you got to wonder about workers that work in that kind of an environment. Do they know that, you know, that's not something that competing companies are doing? Or do they think that's just business as usual?
Is it something that competing companies aren't doing?
Probably not as blatantly as that.
they're being Slugworthed right now. Like from Willy Wonka.
I kind of feel like this does go on, but Huawei is just really bad at, you know, keeping it under the table.
Once again, China is up front with it. It's like, look, this is how it's done. We're just going to be up front with this is how we do it.
I think, you know, what's the irony of it? I think Huawei, in a lot of ways, is an analog of Donald Trump. Because every president that came before Donald Trump was hopelessly corrupt. They were terrible presidents, but they were very presidential and they were good at hiding it in most cases. And we were okay with that. It's like, okay, they're criminals, but look how, you know, they speak well and they don't say stupid things. And then Trump comes along and he's just like, Huawei, like, I'll pay you for some secrets. I don't care. And the fact that they're enemies, you know, it's just some delicious irony, isn't it? And our final story, this one, again, the weekly saga of the data dump.
Hacker puts up for sale the third round of hacked databases on the dark web. A hacker is selling 93 million user records from 8 companies, including Jiffy Cat.
Not Jiffy Cat.
It is pronounced Jiff. I don't want to hear it.
Oh, you'll yeah. hear it.
Oh, wow.
So here we got some job and talent. One BIP. What? Storybird. I've never heard of any of these except for Jiffy Cat. ClassPass. Oh, it's a fitness service. Oh, like a cycling class, I guess. Pizzap. Anyway, if you are subscribed to any of these services or would like to purchase these databases, here they are. This is the dark website.
You can get them all in one package for the low, low price of 2.6 Bitcoin.
Yeah. Nice.
That's, what kind of information are you really taking from a... Now you have me self-conscious about how I say it, Jiffy Cat.
It's
Giphy Cat.
You know, name, email, and encrypted password.
Yeah. And if you use that password anywhere else, you're screwed.
That's why you have to use the password manager.
Yeah.
Also, this guy did some, some activism in it. George Duke Cohen was one of these hacker guys that got sent to prison. And so he's saying that this is revenge for that guy.
Poor guy.
That guy's like waiting his trial or whatever. And he's like, thanks, bro.
Thanks for dragging me into this.
Yeah.
Listen, Friday is almost entirely nonsense. And
I don't think we
have not had this much nonsense in like 6 months.
We got the social to finally talk about the Facebook thing, even though by Friday, there will literally be no one on earth that doesn't know about it. But that's all right. Because really, you need to hear our opinion. That's what's important.
And that's what matters.
Of course.
We think.
So we'll see you then.